Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
All right, Juice, you know how I always say I've got a guy for everything?
Yeah, yes, you do, Big Seth. You've got a guy for printing, a guy for cigars, a guy for, what was it, custom pool flamingos?
Don't knock the flamingos. But when it comes to remodeling your home, my guy is Alvaro Freitas and his crew at Casabella Design Group.
Yes, your favorite contractor, right?
Well, he is my favorite contractor, and he'll be yours as well with just one call. Casabella has been remodeling homes in South Florida for over 20 years. Kitchens, bathrooms, full home renovations, even outdoor spaces that'll make you forget that you live on that cul-de-sac.
And they don't just make things look good. I mean, they handle permits, planning, construction, all the stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out.
Easy on the hair, okay?
Yeah, right, right.
But trust me, Alvaro shows up with a plan, a crew, and he may even bring you a cafecito. The man is a machine.
Yeah, so if you're ready to love your home again, or, I mean, you just want to make your neighbors jealous, head to CasabellaDG.com and schedule your free consultation.
That's CasabellaDG.com and tell Alvaro the Fish Tank sent you. He might even give you a deal, or at least a hug.
Casabella Design Group, proud partner of the Fish Tank. Let's build something beautiful together.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Yeah. Golf fans. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt right here in the Casabella Design Group studios. And, of course, the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. And as always, I am joined by the man with the best hands in the live podcast business. He is OJ McDuffie. And Juice, Devon Achane's buying for the whole bar right now.
Man, oh, man. I mean, if he's smart, he's not.
Right.
But you know what I mean? We gotta try to work it out anyways, man. I mean, think Big Seth, imagine, I get dings like from Bank of America every once in a while, most of them bad. You know what I mean?
Is that different than the ding that Savak gives you right here in the fish tank?
Right. It's way different than that damn ding. Imagine that ding on your account, you know, when they direct deposit that signing bonus and you know that you're pretty much set up, man. You should be set up for life, bro.
For life. Well, we're going to talk all about that. But before we do, we got to introduce the crew. As always, the legendary Savak, and I think Bandit might be somewhere in there, Raising Hell. Sun Sentinel columnist and host of the Dolphins Deep Dive podcast with Perk. He is Perk. Chris Perkins joins us. Just a straight-up regular rocking. The Fish Tank hoodie, I love it. It's his official uniform for Fish Tank Live. And joining forces with Chris Perkins with the official uniform for Fish Tank Live is our main man, the heart and soul of Van Horn Law Group, Chad Van Horn. And this is the crew. Fellas, I had a whole rundown planned, and Devon Achane just blew it up in the best way.
In a good way. Hey, before we get into Achane, since you just introduced Chad Van Horn, let me tell you guys what Chad's up to on Friday, you guys.
Okay.
Chad is doing the 21st annual Lung Force Sunset Soiree, Dancing with the Stars.
Mm. Whoa.
Chad is about to dance his hair off, y'all, on Friday night out here in South Florida, man. And Chad's always been so great in the community, man. And this is just another extension of what he does, man, and putting himself out there. You know, he was on Squid Game Challenge, the first one.
Yeah.
Now you see him doing Dance with the Stars, but he's always in the community, man. So I can't wait to go out there. I'm going to have a few drinks early so I can boo early. You know what I mean?
Can you boo at a charity dancing event?
I mean, I'm going to try, man. You know, I could boo. You know, I could do something like that, right? No, but always big ups to Chad, man. Always doing big things in the community, bro. And I'm excited to see him do what he's doing, man.
Juice, thank you. Means a lot. I told you a quick story offline. I'll bring it online real quick. And Savak will, depending on how it goes, we might have some video for next week's episode.
Right.
But out of all of the dancers, they ask you what dance you want to do and what style do you like. So I said hip hop. She said, "Yeah, we don't do that here."
I want to know what that looks like.
And then it went straight downhill from there. So,
Dancing with the Stars, they do a hip hop routine, right?
That's right. What I said. Heck yeah. Right. So, my partner won it last year. So I think that she didn't want to leave it to chance. So, you know, let's keep a winning formula. You know what we do with Fish Tank? We win. So,
that's right.
I'm gonna have a trophy with me next week, Fish Tank Live. Be here for that one. That's gonna be special. But thank you for sharing that, Juice.
No doubt. And Chad, all pressure on you then if she won last year. So
right.
All this year.
Like, what's the common denominator and what is it? Oh, too good. Yep. Too good. So yeah, I mean, the news of the day, and you know, maybe we'll get to, you know, actually let me put this out there first, just before before we do get into the HN news. But RIP to Ogre. You know, we lost another great member of, the football community, Donald Gibb, the great actor, the linebacker from Adams College. If anybody's a Revenge of the Nerds fan, Ogre wasn't necessarily nice to the nerds, but he was indeed a legend. We lost him today as well. So Devon Achan, Chris Perkins, when you're sitting around enjoying the offseason, a slow news day, got through rookie camp where you're trying to manufacture news, and then all of a sudden, all of the insiders start blowing up Twitter, and you start to find out that Devon Achan and the Miami Dolphins have agreed to a 4-year extension worth $68 million. And what is it, 32 guaranteed? Is that what they're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
What is your reaction, both as someone who has to write about this stuff and as someone who just covers this team?
I'm very surprised that they got it done this quickly. And congratulations to Achan. Congratulations to John Eric Sullivan. Nice job by both of them. I like the contract. I like the guaranteed money. I had just written today about, what I thought that Achan should get in a conversation that I had with Omar Kelly of the Miami Herald and Alan Poupart of Miami Dolphins on SI.com. And I said that I think that he ought to come in, Achan ought to come in somewhere between James Cook and Breece Hall. Off the top of my head, James Cook was 4 for 48 with 30 guaranteed. Breece Hall, 3 for 45 with 29 guaranteed. So I like where Achan came in. They thought that Achan should get more like Bijan Robinson money, who might get like 18 or 20 million a year with like maybe 40 million guaranteed. Mm. That's a lot of money for a 191-pound running back with in Achan. So I think that John Eric Sullivan did a great job, and Devon Achan did a great job understanding I'm not going to be so greedy that I leave my boys Aaron Brewer and Jordan Brooks hanging out to dry. Nice job by everybody.
Ah, great point, Perk. That's a great point, Perk, because, you know, we need some money for all those guys as well. And we're a team, Big Seth and fellas, that we don't have a lot of money. You know, we've got 10,000 draft picks, you know, that we have to get signed, you know, and the fact that they were able to find the money, and that's probably, along Brandon Shore and what he does very well, is, you know, finding money, you know, for guys. And that's why people always talk about money, 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 money. Mind your business, man. there's people that know what they're doing that will find the money, move the money, shake the money, you know, couches, whatever it is, you know, car seats, wherever the hell the money is, you know, they'll make it work out, man. And I'm like you said, Perk, I mean, I think HN's got to be really, really happy about that. Former third round pick for this football team that, you know, is going on to, you know, he's the best player on our football team. And for those guys to make that a priority and not make HN, you know, decide whether he's coming to OTAs next week, decide whether he's going to come to, you know, the next phase, decide whether he's going to be at training camp, decide whether he's going to sit out the first regular season game. Get that taken care of, man. They did that. Now they got time to work on the other guys like you talked about, man. So, yeah, big ups to him. Third highest running back in the – highest paid running back in the league. And I think that's right where he fits in, man. So, great job by the organization. Something we've been talking about this group for a long time is the way they've been handling their business.
Yeah, and, you know, when you look at those 110 draft picks, certainly the one we talked about the most is the first one. And when you get a behemoth of a man to put next to a behemoth of a man to put next to an absolute killer at center, and then you also draft a mouth-breathing, meat-eating, blocking tight end, I think it's pretty clear what they want to do, right? I mean, they want to run the ball.
Yeah.
And John Eric Sullivan so far tells no lies, right? I mean, he's pretty much told us his game plan and then delivered upon it. And I think actually did Bohica write that in the chat there? Like everything that he has told us he believes in, he's had a – well, there you go. He's had a roadmap, and he's been following it. And so, I we'll see what happens and how long that lasts, but you got to like it as a Miami Dolphins fan that you keep one of the players whose jersey you bought. You just got his rivalry jersey, yep. Right? You got your Juice. Do you have a Waddle or an HN? What was your rivalry?
I had an HN. I had a choice. Here's the thing. I had a choice at an event of a Tua or an HN. Well, I said, you better give me that HN. You better give me that HN. Johnny Alfredo had to walk out with the Tua.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing this does, and you know, Bohica's like he's all in my playbook, but we have seen the Miami Dolphins, and we have been frustrated by the Miami Dolphins trying to negotiate with a player probably a year too late. You know, it cost them Christian Wilkins. Maybe it worked out in their favor. It cost them Rob Hunt. Probably did not work in their favor. And you could go on and on down the line where there have been players in the past that if they had found a way to negotiate with them. Now, granted, I mean, Devon Achane just got broken off. But they got him signed. To Perk's point, they got him signed early. And they don't have to compete with some of these other contracts because it's already established. Hopefully, they do not fall for the same trap we've seen a more recent regime fall for, that as soon as somebody else gets paid, the guy they just paid wants to renegotiate their deal. Right. We don't want to do any more of that nonsense. But it's very exciting to have one of the most electric players in the National Football League stay home.
Yeah, and you know what? Seth, you've talked about it over and over and over again, bro. You know, this is what you've always wanted with our players. Now, you know, draft them, you know, develop them, retain them, resign them, whatever it might be.
That's it.
You know, now we've got this opportunity with Devon. You know, we got that with Patrick, of course. Savannah, we got some guys right now that have this opportunity. You know, of course, Aaron Brewer and Brooks came somewhere else, but you got this group of rookies and things that are coming up. That's going to be their game plan, man. And you said, but he could talk about it too, man. These guys have always, you know, that's what they've been talking about doing. And I think that they're going to stick to their guns no matter what. And that's always important, man. They didn't listen to anybody during the draft. And they're not going to listen to anybody about anything else. They did what they wanted to do in the draft. And I love what they did there. And they'll continue to do that, man, with the guys that they want to keep around here for a long time. Guys need to be Dolphins for 8 to 10 years if they're healthy enough. Bottom line.
Yeah, you know what? Now, I'll say this real quick. You know, I'm not going to step on my – I tried to tell y'all, but this is a new day for the Dolphins, and we see evidence of that every single day. And I will add this, that I like that they have kind of set a time now for this rebuild, right? With the HN contract extension – we want to be good while Achane is in his prime, right? So there's no more messing around. I think really this puts the this year as the rebuild season. And then 2027, you know, they're going to try to make a playoff berth. Right. And then it goes from there. And you're going to have Achane in his prime. You're going to take advantage of his best years. There's going to be no anger or animosity over a contract and all that kind of stuff. This organization is already moving forward. And like everybody has said, and Bohica and you guys, Sully is talking the talk and he's walking the walk. And so you've got to be happy with the progress so far.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just got rattled because Michael Leva, the king of all Dolphins talk things, said that Tua jerseys are on sale for $4.99. I thought he was being funny. I thought he was being funny. He just dropped the link in the chat. You can go on fanatics.com and get on sale for $125 off. I might buy one, fellas. I'm going to tell you what. Hey. I might buy a damn Tua jersey.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. It is one of the best gifts you can get for like a non-football fan that's going to games. I've got so many jerseys of old players from like the Steelers or the Dolphins for $5 or $10. And they have no idea. They don't know who the player is anyway.
I'm ordering a damn $4.99 Tua. I'm going to wear it on the line. Man. Hey, you never know who will be the next guy, right? You know, all the Tannehill jerseys got recycled with the Waddle plates for a long time. Yeah. You never know when that'll happen. So great stuff. But Devon Achane here to stay. And you know, I talk about stepping on. I tried to tell y'all's perk. I wonder if I'm going to be butting heads with people like I was with watching Spock steal all my notes last week. But I will. You know, there was talk about him, you know, the Dolphins considering a trade and first round. And we'll get into all that. I'm just glad that all of that talk is out of here. And again, John Eric Sullivan told us he was not on the trading block. He's not taking those calls. Every general manager says they're always going to listen. He said this is a non-negotiable, which tells you he was clearly in negotiations and he wanted to get the message out there to Achane's agent. Like, we are serious about getting a deal done.
Right.
It's just been impressive. You have to be excited about what you've seen. Even if you didn't like every draft pick, I'm on record as saying I wanted Reuben Bain. Mm-hmm. I hope Proctor works out. So you don't have to like every decision, but you got to love the process so far at this early stage. You agree, Perk?
Yep, I agree 100%. And again, you know, this is somebody who has told us what he's going to do, and he's gone down that list, right? When he talked about they want aggressive players and physical players and the style that they want to play, we're seeing them select the players that fit that style of play. And so, look, we can't know any more about the team than we can at a certain pace, right? Like, we can't know how physical they're going to be till they put on the pads. But we see that they're getting physical types of players and they're talking about playing a physical style of football. So, you know, as we see them take one step, the next step moves forward, not to the side or back. And that's pretty much all you can judge them on right now. And that's what they're doing. So I like everything that they I guess the only thing that you could kind of say is when he said we like to draft a quarterback every year if we can. He never said we will draft a quarterback every right. year. He said we'd like to. So that would be the only nitpicking thing. But he told the truth in that situation. I like what I've seen from Sully.
You know what? I'm sorry. Real quick. You know what else I like about some of those players, Perk, is that you were out there. I like listening to them talk, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I listen to some players talk and I'm like, oh man, there's no way they can, you know, honestly, they can pick up the playbook. You know, they were all very professional, articulate. You know, you heard them all, like all the guys that stepped up to the microphone, you know, it was impressive, man. So that tells me that we got some guys that have some intellect as well as toughness, as well as, you know, can play the game. You know, and that's huge in this game. It really is, man. So, yeah, they sounded really good too on the microphone. Some guys are, you know, can sound good and not play with, but they really act like they have some big words like mayonnaise. I thought.
That's right. You know what I mean? Some SAT words.
Correct.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, and I'll say this also, that not to get too far off of the Achan thing, but to keep going down the I like what I see, and you know, he's walking the walk. They said that they didn't know what type of defense they were going to play specifically. We're going to see what type of players we have, see what their strengths are, and we will play to their strengths. And so I think that we could see a lot of a hybrid type of defense. And when you talk, we talked to Al Washington, the linebackers coach, today about, is there a chance that Jacob Rodriguez and Terrell Dodson and Jordan Brooks could be on the field at the same time? And he said, I don't know yet, but I won't rule it out. And you know, because in a traditional 4-3, you need that thumper as the strong side backer, the run heavy guy. That's Willie Gay. That's not Jacob Rodriguez or Terrell Dodson or Jordan Brooks. But Al Washington is saying, let me see what I have. That's what Jeff Hafley preached, right? I'm going to see what I have, and I will form my scheme after that. So, again, to me, it's another example of them doing as they said they were going to do. Maybe we'll be 4-3. Maybe we'll be more hybrid. Maybe we'll be more nickel. But let me see what I've got here. I like that approach.
Yeah, and also, it's all predicated on who we're playing. Week in, week out. Right. I mean, we can come with anything that we want, but it's got to be a matchup situation for us as well. And, you know, I think the speed that we have in those positions right now, Perk and fellas, that, you know, I mean, they can – we're very versatile. And that's what they really shoot for, is versatility. Right. And I think that they have that with some of these guys that could be hybrid linebackers, outside linebackers, mostly strong safeties. You know, some hell, come inside and play – you know, nickel. I mean, I don't know how that, you know, if they want to, well, you know,
I
mean, so.
I tell you what, Juice, and not to cut you off, but when you talk about the big nickel, off. I know I did. this would be like.
Sorry to bother you, Mr. McDuffie, but.
But if Darren Waller is out there, right, you can tell Cal Lewis, sick him, right? And you can solve a matchup problem.
Right, and you got a physicality. If they want to run with that situation or they want to try to pass, you got a cover guy right there, but you also got a guy. If they want to run that way, that'll get that dude out of the way and make tackles and big hits for you. Yeah, absolutely.
And Devon Achan fits in with the versatility in that he can, you know, you can line him up in different ways.
Yep.
Well, we've certainly seen a whole lot of that, and he's made just about every one of those ways work for him and work for the Dolphins. So exciting stuff. Since we're talking about the running back position, there was some other interesting news. It's a good thing Devon Achan is locked up after the retirement of Le'Veon Moss. Not Le'Veon Bell, Chad Van Horn, okay? So we're not going back to the series. Just to be clear here. Le'Veon Moss showed up to rookie camp, you know, apparently, reportedly got over $250,000 to be a high-priced, targeted, undrafted free agent, right? Came in with some injury history, but was supposed to be one of the better UDFAs signed across the league. And after 3 days of quote-unquote meaningless rookie camp, he's like, bleep this, right? And not just like quit, because they used to quit. Juice, I feel like those guys, the undrafted guys, would just quit in you know, back when I was working for the team and you were playing for the team. Now he like an officially retired. Like he turned into retired. Like, you don't want to think through this a little bit, bro? Like, you retired. What do you guys think of that? Yeah. Is that something that in this NIL era we're going to see more of?
Well, I mean, here's the thing about it, Big Seth. I don't want that dude on my squad.
Yeah.
He does not love the game. That's lack of love of the game. You know, these dudes that, you know, there's some dudes that probably could have stayed in college a little bit longer with the NIL money, better than what they make in a rookie contract, but they came to the league because we dreamed as 5-, 6-, 7-year-olds playing the NFL. This dude, he didn't love the game, so I don't want him on my squad. He's one of them dudes that I'd be yelling at, and he'd probably kick my ass, but I'd still be yelling at him to get his ass back on the field.
It's a smarter matchup than Darryl Gardner, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I don't know. He's probably got quicker hands than Darryl had. He's probably stronger than Darryl. I mean, stronger than my ass. That's all I know. I was going to fight the kicker and the punters, man. That's about it. That's all I was going to mess with physically, where I had a shot at it. Otherwise, You know, I don't want that dude on my squad, man.
Yeah.
I really don't, man. And you know what? And as a running back, this might be the worst position, one of the worst positions on the Miami Dolphins to come to and try to play, but at least get through freaking, you know, I mean, come on, man. Get to OTAs and, you know, get all that. We gave you a quarter. Does he have to return that money, Perk?
I would think so. We were talking about that in the media room today. I don't know what the payout situation is, at what point you get paid, or yeah, what the obligation is. But I would think that you don't get to keep that money.
Yeah, it's gotta be something.
They have to be able to reclaim. Chad, what are they?
He's not keeping that money.
Yeah. Yeah. Chad Van Horn says
He's got money bank. I wish I knew what his NIL money was, but obviously he can't go back and get back in, you know, in college with it. But same time though, you know, some guys do have, maybe they already had a game plan. Maybe they already had their life set with the money you're talking about, Big Seth, and NIL money. You know, hopefully he started a business already, and maybe that's the better way of going instead of getting beat up in the Miami sun and, you know, and getting hit in the head all over the place. But that's also a show of lack of love for the game. And love of the game is the most important thing for a lot of these guys that these guys talk about that, you know, that were making a lot of money in college. You know, they were making a lot of money. A lot of these dudes didn't even have to go in the draft. Some of these UDFAs, I didn't get drafted. All right, the hell with it then. I'm just going to, you know, start something else with the money I made in college. Now, if you get here and you're like, nah, this ain't for me, it never was for you. And we're glad you decided to leave our organization before we wasted time with
you. You know, I'll say this. I don't know the circumstances of Le'Veon Moss's departure. It might have been medical. I don't know.
Good point, too. My bad. While I cut you off.
You don't mean to.
I don't mean to. But, yeah, I should have prefaced that by saying, yeah, if it's medical, I apologize. But if you don't load a game, then I'm back to what I said originally. All right. Back to you, Burke.
Thank you, Juice. No, I agree with you, Juice. I agree with you. But here's what I will say for the unfield product, and this gets back to A-Chan, is that I would like to see the Dolphins reduce the workload on Devon A-Chan, and maybe Le'Veon Moss could have been part of that. You know, and really what I'm looking for is situational help. So maybe Jalen Wright can take some carries while they split A-Chan out wide in the slot. Or while A-Chan gets a rest on the bench, maybe Ollie Gordon is the short yardage situational running back, right? Or red zone or goal line. All of this stuff could contribute to taking carries and touches off of A-Chan. I don't want to see A-Chan overloaded. You know, Tyreek Hill is gone. You know, Jaylen Waddle is gone. Jonnu Smith has been gone. I don't know who else is worthy of touches on that offense, so I don't want to see them overload A-Chan. Maybe Le'Veon Moss could have been part of the solution there. So I would say that's kind of the unfield, I guess the where you might feel the loss of Le'Veon Moss.
Yeah, but Perk, he's a UDFA. You think that he'd be a guy that you're counting to take some reps with the big boys? I mean,
You couldn't count on it, but it's a possibility. Yeah. It's a possibility. Yeah. And not to, you know, look, I don't know what Jalen – he could have been as good as Jalen Wright or Ollie, who I didn't see anything special from either of them. I'm just thinking Le'Veon could have – well, I'm just saying,
Wait a minute, Perk. Hold up,
let's talk about it.
I like both of them. I like both of those big backs.
What do you see as their roles this season?
Well, I mean, when you got Devon A-Chan, it's hard. But now you're talking about – see, here's my role. What I see with those guys are some guys that are bigger backs that can run behind a bigger revamped offensive football line. You know what I mean? I think that's what I like about those dudes. I can see both of those guys running behind the left side that we just talked about with Patrick Paul and, you know, and Caden Parker. You think how much have we struggled on third and one and fourth and one and all those different things? We talked about A-Chan earlier. I talked with Sarnie and those guys about A-Chan being a run between the tackles, but you got big guys that can run up those butts. That means I can run up those butts, Big Seth. You can run up those butts for a half a yard, Big Seth.
For a half a yard, I could fall
forward. That's what I said, a half, man. The ball length. You can go for the ball length, and we get a first down.
Yeah. We need to make this happen. Can we get to the practice facility and make this happen? I want to see Seth get a half a yard.
I'm definitely running left. Definitely running left.
Seth is a MVP flag football quarterback against Madden.
2-0. I am 2-0 as a starting quarterback.
So don't Madden coach teams. Stop playing. Stop playing, Ted. That's a fact right there.
I took down Madden's teams twice, and I'm not talking about the video game. I'm talking about John Madden standing on the field. I lit his ass up.
Lit him up.
2-0.
Lit him up.
And he was throwing to the Harvey
Greens of the world. He was throwing to the Harvey Greens. He's the original Tom Brady of flag football versus, versus.
These are facts. These are facts. Imagine Perk walking up to the line of scrimmage, and you look left, and Green is split out to the left. And you look right, and Gulkis is split out wide to the right. And you got to find a way to win with this crew.
Oh,
thank goodness,
man.
My interns, Mike Pahanic, Melanie LeGrand, the great Melanie LeGrand.
See?
She gave Michelle Tafoya all she could handle.
All she could handle. Had her own skates.
Yep. There's no doubt. And Madden in his cheating ass still couldn't beat us. I just want to say that. May he rest in peace. He tried to cheat against that squad that I just told you. And Perk, they kept me working in the press box just so I could come back and quarterback that game against the Monday Night Football crew.
That's how you kept your
look
job.
It up. It's a fact. I am 2-0 as a starting quarterback.
Seth kept his job. All right.
I love it.
That's
it. Look for that video on Legends of the Game on YouTube.
It's a fact, man. I got to find it. I got to tell you the whole story one of these days. That's a big Seth's big adventure right there.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah. And we did get to go on the cruiser afterwards, even after Hannah.
There you go. He wasn't that mad, Dan. He wasn't that mad.
No, I wasn't terrible. Well, Stu jumped his ass. Stu started. It's a whole thing. That's another story.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll read it.
It's another story.
Get back on track, Big Seth.
Okay, my bad. So I will say this, stronger at flag football than I was at Little League, Mike, by a million years. The only thing I could do athletically was throw a football halfway decent and have a busted-ass running jumper that I could drop that running jumper on Juice's court. So,
you did. Off the run left, off the wrong leg.
I would always jump off the wrong foot. Mark Dixon tried to coach me up the right way. He's like, son, what are you doing jumping off your right foot, shooting with the right hand? I'm like, did the bitch go in? Okay.
All right, Seth, get back on track.
I'm sorry. You got me fired up. So Ollie Gordon, I thought, showed flashes of being that short yardage physical back. And I think we only started to see his production diminish when we started to see the production of the offensive line, that offensive line play. Jonas Avaynaya, whatever was happening at right guard, when he's getting the ball and he's getting smacked in the face as soon as he got the rock. But I think Ollie Gordon's got a whole lot there. And I think Jalen Wright, I'm reading this. Chad Proctor and Paul sounds like a law firm specializing in consumer protection for HN and Willis. Very nice. Very nice. Jason Sarney filling in for Sam Marcoux. I like it.
I love it.
Good.
I would love to have HN as a client.
Yeah. Let's hope that he doesn't need your services anytime soon.
Right. They got multiple. He's got multiple services in this building. He's got 40,000 lawyers.
I will carry his bags for him for my
own. He might need that. I'm sure. Right. So,
Seth, I'll say this. In theory, Jalen Wright and Ollie Gordon should be improved. I just haven't seen it. And so I think, as far as being a role running back behind Devon Achan, I think Le'Veon Moss could have had a shot. I'm not saying that he would have overtaken either of them, but I would have liked to have seen what he could have brought to the table, because I do think that they need more at that running back spot behind Achan.
Well, wait a minute, real quick. I mean, Perk, we can go back and forth on this shit.
All right, let's do it.
What the fuck? Thank you. And I just said that for it too. Give me another one.
No, that's double tap there, Savak. There we go.
Don't you think like an improved offensive line would give those guys a better opportunity to be more productive for you, Perk? I think the offensive line has gotten better right now already with Caden Proctor and moving them there. I think maybe Savak and I is better off on the right side. Hopefully, we got an Austin Jackson on the that's healthy. Mm-hmm. Don't you think offensive line's got better? So I don't think those guys are like receiving backs like Achan is. But if they can get downhill, they're big. I didn't realize how big they were. When I went to the Dolphin Cancer Challenge and I saw how big those dudes were, running back, those are some big running backs, bro. Mm-hmm. They're bigger than TK, in my opinion. Like, you know, and that's, those are big running backs there. You know, so I think that if they get, you know, obviously they got some speed. They got a running start. They might be all right. But you're right. You haven't seen it because they haven't had the opportunity. They don't have the. They don't have that. That 4-2 like A-10 has that can get by people, but they got that 4-3, 4 or low fours that if they get a crack, it could be something special. I think their opportunity is gonna be better this year. But I feel you on the other guy. I don't even know what his dimensions were. Where were his dimensions? So I was only here for 2 minutes, so I don't even know how big he was, how small he was. What was he?
I don't know. I don't know what Le'Veon Moss's dimensions were. But again, I'm just saying anybody dimensions. Who can situationally take some touches off
6 foot 203.
Yeah.
Well, I think they've got
that. Yeah.
I think they've got that. And if the line is being built in the way that they believe it is, then I think everybody gets a little bit better, which is what Juice was saying. So
I told you, Seth, you can get a half yard.
I could definitely get a half yard. And I might have an RPO, you know, just be careful. Just be careful. Don't let Malik sneak out there.
Don't throw.
Don't get out the pocket,
Big Sam. Stay right there where you're protected, man.
Well, I'm not getting out of the pocket. I might do that.
RPO, you're like, you're working down the line a little bit.
That's true. Yeah, and then you got those guys who are coaches just hit the quarterback whether he has the rock or not. So, I'll just fall forward fast. Okay, so biggest news, we heard from a slew of coaches, you know, new coaches. I guess Bobby Sloak's technically not a new coach, but we certainly heard more from him. What would you say, Perk, was the biggest news that we heard out of those pressers?
Oh, God. There was really no big news to come out of those pressers, I'll tell you the truth. But I did like what I heard, again, from Al Washington when he was talking about the versatility of the linebackers and kind of the possibility of playing a hybrid defense. I liked what I heard from offensive line coach Zach Yenser when he was talking about Caden Proctor and his ability to play guard. And, you know, I was asking him, you know, it seems like the tackles go to guard more often nowadays, but as I've said on here, not tackles the size of Caden Proctor. And what Yenser was saying is that, you know, really the only big difference is the contact is on you faster. And but he said that the skills pretty much translate. So it kind of eased my mind a little bit on Proctor's size making that change. Because as I said, you know, the only guys I can think of are like Mekhi Becton, Jonathan Ogden, Daniel Fa'ela, however you pronounce it, with the New York Giants. So that was good. And I thought that Proctor looked light on his feet. I thought he looked athletic. I liked the look of all the rookies. A very athletic, versatile crew that I think if you want to play a hybrid style of football, not necessarily a traditional defense, maybe offensively you do some different things. I think they've got the right guys for that.
Did it concern you today that Caden said himself that he hadn't played guard since like freshman year?
Freshman year. No, not really. If he's an athlete, if he's a football player, he'll be able to play guard. I keep in mind that John Eric Sullivan said, we will initially try him at left guard, but we will cross-train him. So there remains the possibility Austin Jackson kicks in to guard, which he did in his second year, right? So, we want answers very fast now, but we can't get them. We aren't going to know these till they put the pads on, but I like what I'm seeing, and I like what Zach Yenser said to explain kind of why and why the transition to guard shouldn't be as difficult for Caden Proctor.
Well, Perk, what I heard Bobby Slowick say was that left side is the side that they believed in, keeping guys on the sides that they played in college, which I liked hearing, quite frankly. It drove me bananas that you would trade up in the second round and spend a second round pick for a guy just to move him out of his position. Like, I just don't understand it. And they're moving Jonas Avellaneda back to the right, and they're keeping Caden Proctor to say, okay, we'll slide him down into the guard position. But if they believe that keeping him on the left side is the side, you talk about cross-training. I think they're cross-training guard or tackle, but if they want to keep him on the left, what are they going to do, move Patrick Paul? Like, I don't know, man.
I think that Proctor would play right tackle if he played tackle.
But, Perk, they said they're going to keep him on the left side. I mean, that's what Bobby Spolick said.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what they say, Seth. But
I'm not buying it.
I think this is all very experimental. Just like, how crazy would it be to move Patrick Paul, who proved that he's a good left tackle,
ridiculous,
and put a rookie in there? Right. That would be like moving Savainaya. I don't think they're
more. I don't crazy.
Yes, thank you. I didn't want to say stupid. Crazy is the better.
It would be crazier than the Savainaya move. Yes,
correct. So I think Slowick said that for whatever reason, but in actuality, I'm not buying it.
Okay, fair enough. And the other thing that I thought was interesting news was, and I guess everybody kind of assumed this, but they said, look, Jam Master Jay, Jason Marshall Jr., that he's not, you know, they think he's better suited for the outside than the nickel. And they talked about what they wanted to see in the nickel. I thought we saw some of those things from Jason Marshall Jr. that surprisingly, but they claim that they really liked his coverage skills, even coming out of college, wherever they were at scouting him, that they felt that he's got some stronger coverage skills and he's going to get an opportunity to work on the outside. So those are the two newsworthy things that jumped out at me and the stuff that I listened to.
Yeah. And you know, again, not to step on my own, I tried to tell y'all, but look at these differences.
You're stepping all over it.
It's like Savainaya, we're going to move him, and the new people come in and say, what a stupid idea that was. Jason Marshall at the nickel, the new people come in and go, are you crazy? This dude is the outside corner. The differences in these two groups are just, it's almost mind-boggling, the way that they view football, the way that they view players, and I'm really looking forward to seeing this product on the field, in pads, joint practices, preseason, regular season, because I think it's going to be very, very different than what we saw the previous 4 years.
You know, I would love that. I would love to see a big corner playing nickel against me. You know what I mean? The little guys gave me fits because they knew they had a lot of help. They didn't have to go anywhere. You know, at one point when I was playing Ty Law, they moved him inside a couple of times when I was inside, and that kind of gave me fits too because he was long and he had a lot of help, you know. But if I see a bigger corner nickel, I'm excited about that as a slot receiver because I know I'm gonna beat him on quickness and I know I got option routes, so I'm gonna get him moving. And this big ass ain't gonna be able to move and turn around and stop and go like I'm gonna be able to go, you know.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think he might, with his size, you know, being over 200 pounds, being 6 foot over 200 pounds. You know, he's better suited on the outside where he can deal with some bigger receivers as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these guys like big. They like big on big.
I think that's what we're seeing
more than anything. They like big corners, big wide receivers, big linemen. They like big dudes, man. And I like that. Defensive guys they picked up aren't as big. Like some of the linebackers are kind of smallish.
Right.
But they can run and they can thump.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's really that. You'd be able to fly to the football. If the big uglies in front keep guys off them, they ain't got to worry about their size at the next level. So I think that, you know, making that assessment with Jason Marshall Jr., that's a smart move. But they know how they've been doing it, like we talked about, well for a while. But they know how they want to build this team. It's going to be big and physical. And you know, and guys that are versatile, and I think that's a pretty good move, man, for your Florida Gator, Big Seth.
Yeah, no doubt. Jam Master Jay. So, you know, everyone's stealing my lines tonight. Mike Oliva just put in the chat, here it is, doing the opposite of what Greer McDaniel did is probably a strategy that will lead to success. I was going to say, as Kirk was saying, everything they do seems to be the opposite of the previous regime. I said, I hope that the results are also diametrically opposed to what we got there towards the end. But the one thing that they both seem to agree on was Devon Achane. And that he was a guy that belonged on this team and needed to be a centerpiece. And so we saw that very quickly. Even before Tyreek Hill got hurt, I think the way the season started, it became clear that the offense was running through Achane even more so than it was Tua and those wideouts. So that's the story there. All right, I want to move on to one more thing. Then we're going to get into the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone. So tomorrow night, fellas, schedule release.
And
there is the general excitement of what it used to be back in my day, where you were excited about the schedule release because you would see when your team was going to be playing these other teams and which games you wanted to go to and which games would be cold. And I heard Perk and Omar talking on the Joe Rose show without Joe Rose that can I, you know what, I'm going to go off track here, but Omar, you want to know why you can't win in cold weather, Juice? When your beat writer is saying that he learned that when it gets windy in Green Bay, you have to walk backwards. When the friggin' media from South Florida are saying that they had Perk, thank you for not co-signing on that. It's like, yeah, it's a little tough. Like, come on, Omar, you got to walk backwards because you can't handle walking from your car, your rental car, to the friggin' press entrance in Green Bay. Come on, man.
Hey, Seth, oh my God. Include yourself. Don't just convict the media. I'm convicting South Florida kids. You grew up in South Florida, so did Omar. Let's put the net over everybody here.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm a straight punk when it comes to cold weather. I worked in Cleveland for the Cavaliers, and my boss said I was the only intern in the history of the Cleveland Cavaliers that wore two coats to work every day. So I'm not cut from the cloth that Juice and Chad are, those guys.
No, nah, well, no, nah, that cloth is my cloth is thin now too, Big Seth. Yeah. I go to Ohio for 12 to 16 hours total.
Yeah. I remember
in the airport, I go to my whatever I gotta go to, and I get right back on the plane and come back to sunny South Florida.
Man, oh man, I can't handle it. But schedule release is also exciting. Okay, Michael Levi, I lived in Syracuse, New York my entire life, never heard of the walking backwards method. Maybe you should try it, Mike. Try the walking backwards. Let's see if Michael Levi can try it.
Moonslide. Hey, you can moonwalk. You got to moonwalk through that weather, man.
It's a slippery City enough. Thing.
Go ahead and moonwalk through that weather, man. Go, yeah, for sure.
It's a Carroll City thing, for sure, I think is what it's got to be. But the schedule release also brings us the excitement of creativity. I am hearing from inside the building that going to try it, record it for the show. Please do, Mike. I am hearing that this might be one of the better schedule release videos the Dolphins have had in quite some time. So I'm excited about that. You know, we saw some really cool stuff last year. I also think it's interesting when two teams think they have brilliant ideas and they end up having similar ideas. And then it's like, okay, who did the Minecraft thing better? Who gets sued for their Minecraft thing? Right. You know, so I think that's interesting. You guys talked about on the show, I'm from sunny Buffalo, never walked backwards.
Yeah. Nice sideways. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, the walking backwards. Nice,
or zigzag. Sideways and zigzags happen in Penn State for sure.
I never even walked backwards. I'll tell you that much. I never walked backwards. Terrible. So, you know, if you guys have watched the schedule release videos in the past, let's do the round robin. I'll start with Chad because we know he's watching a different schedule release than we are. Who do you think, what team consistently delivers on schedule release day?
Well, the way they do it now, I mean, all the meaningful games are out. That's why you don't know the Dolphins schedule.
Here I try to give him the first spot. And he's just taking shots.
So what I look forward to, in all seriousness, what I actually look forward to now are the international games. And I went to Ireland last year. This year I'm going to Paris, and I'm taking my mom.
Nice.
it gives us a reason, because obviously, you know, we love our football team, and it gives us a reason to go to a beautiful international city, and especially especially with people like bringing family to somewhere that you've never been before. And I know South Florida is a little more international than places like Pittsburgh and Ohio, but it really gets people from smaller cities out of their bubble, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
That's cool.
It's so cool. And just seeing all the people in Ireland, and then going to Paris, I think is going to be a little different than.
I think so.
but that's my favorite part right now of schedule release, is seeing all the international games.
You like Paris so much, bro. You just, you know, you're happy. Your Steelers are going there. You're just happy that, you know, you can go there and wee-wee all over the place.
Well, and I kind of like that they put the Saints there as well, with the Louisiana Purchase, the history.
You're going to be going over the history things. You're going to be going to, like, museums and stuff while you're there.
I mean, you should.
I've already been to pretty much all of them, but I'm definitely going to take my mom to a few of them. So,
fun fact, Juice took 2 years of French in high school. So if you need
Je m'appelle OG.
That's so good. I got to take him with me.
There you go. So, you know what? I'm looking at the clock here. My vote, I think the Chargers consistently just crush the schedule release videos. They do a brilliant job.
LA. You're in LA. LA, man. They've got LA. I was going to say the same thing. When you've got production and you got people that's what they do.
Yeah,
that's easy, right? They make it. They kill it. They did the Friday. Didn't they do something with Friday the other day?
Was that them or the Rams?
Well, the Rams did the Friday situation.
They always do some crazy stuff. They did Mike McDaniel with the vape.
They did. Creative people doing creative things. Yeah. Right,
and supposedly somebody was saying that they got like a limited league approval to do something with Mike Vrabel. I have no idea what that means. That's what somebody said that. I can't remember who said that. So.
Is this a reliable source, Kurt?
I think I heard it on the radio.
I think it was Omar while he was walking backwards who said it.
I just want to put that out there.
Let me say this real quick.
Okay.
The thing that I don't like about the schedule release is how everybody goes down and does the WL. Here's what I think. You should do it like you do your basketball team and your baseball team. In basketball and baseball, you don't do WL. You look at the team and you say the Miami Heat is good enough to win 45 games. New York Knicks good enough to win 50 games. That's what I think you should do in football. You don't judge the opponent. You judge your team and your talent. Having said that, I know everybody's going to do the WL.
Well, you know why, Perk, though? Go ahead, Big Sam. But you know why we can do that in football? There's only 17.
Only 17 games.
You can't go down 162 or 82 of the other
82
ones.
82 games and sit there and do it when people don't even care about those games.
I understand. I'm just saying you come out. I think you come out with a better result if you look at your team as opposed to, because you don't know if Patrick Mahomes is going to blow out his knee by the time you play him in December. You judge it on your team. But anyway,
let's hope he doesn't do that again.
My God. I'll feel you.
So, all right, I'm going to roll into the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone, and we've got some news right here in our own backyard. The Bright Line. Have any of you guys ever been on the Bright Line?
Oh, yeah.
I have not.
I've been on with OJ, actually.
That's right.
Well, there you go. Well, you guys can, like, walk to the Bright Line, can't you?
We can.
Like, yeah.
Chad had us in VIP. You ever been in VIP on Bright Line?
I haven't even been to the Bright Line, let alone the VIP.
Yeah.
But
Perk, you ever been in Bright Line VIP?
You guys spending all that time on VIP – Brightline is headed towards possible bankruptcy. So, Chad, talk to us about what's going on with the Brightline and how that's going to affect. We finally had some semi-public transportation here in South Florida, well, all the way up to Orlando, and now they might be filing Chapter 11. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, well, I think the problem is you and Perk are not riding the Brightline.
There it is.
On the Brightline. So I think that's part of the problem.
I live too far out west.
But there's this other thing. They got a little bit of debt. Guess how much debt they have on their books right now? Just throw out numbers.
I'm looking at the million. Article. So
200 million.
Juice.
I'm going to go with 50 million.
Savak.
I want to land somewhere in between the two of them. So let me say like 125 million.
Closest to $1 without going over.
$5.5 billion in debt.
Oh, oh, billion with a B.
Damn. With a B. $5.5 billion.
A billy.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Devon Achane was making a lot of money.
Wow. So they're $5.5 billion. They already missed interest payments earlier this year, which I don't even know what an interest payment is on $5.5 billion.
Yeah.
the grace period runs out June 15th. Auditors at Ernst & Young literally wrote the words substantial doubt about whether this company is going to survive the next 12 months.
Wow.
But here is the interesting angle and what most people get wrong. As you guys know, bankruptcy doesn't mean the train stops. Ridership is actually up 20%, even though Perk is not riding it. So that means the business actually works, and I love it. I go to court in Miami. I go to court in West Palm on it. I even go to court in Orlando on it. Mm-hmm. And I could work. I could work during that time, and then I could get VIP on the way back and have a glass of champagne. So this is perfect textbook Chapter 11 because you could reorganize the billions of dollars worth of debt. The debt holders take a haircut. The bond holders take a haircut. Equity is going to get wiped out, but the trains could keep running because it is a good business model. It's just not a good business if you have billions of dollars worth of debt that you have to pay interest. So hopefully they work it out. If not, Chapter 11 might be an option. But if I were a gambling man, it's not going to go the way of Spirit. The bright line is going to be here. And I think it should be even, and I don't love giving away tax dollars, but even if we have to subsidize it for people to get around, because it really is a good, easy way to get between Miami, Orlando. And I hope they do the whole Florida loop because it's a great way to travel.
Yeah, go build some more tracks. Spend some more.
What's a few more billion?
A few more billions, man. And we do need a statewide transportation. We need one that goes all the way to Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I didn't want to visit my son when he was going to school up there. You know what I mean? We drove there one time and we left the car and flew back. I said, I can't do this. Can't do this, man.
So, I do want to ask, because I'm so glad that he asked in the comments here, David, are the accidents part of the debt?
So any personal injury claims, because and obviously those, some of those have been disputed because people were trying to rush through during. So I know there's been multiple. So the short answer is yes. Those would be general unsecured debt. So they would be unlikely to get paid anything if they were to go through a Chapter 11, maybe some pennies on the dollar. So I do actually advise some personal injury attorneys when companies are going to file bankruptcy, whether they should take settlements. I look through the numbers and it might make sense to take the money and move on, because if they do file bankruptcy with this much debt, those families from the accidents or the deaths might end up getting nothing.
Seeing nothing.
Oh, I almost got wiped out by one of those trains when I was last time I was down there on my way out.
Man, you got the full South Florida experience then.
Juice, you need to have them on. Next time Savak's here, you know those leashes they put on the kids, like the monkey and the monkey's tail. The mom holds on to the monkey's tail.
Correct. I don't know what the hell Savak was doing.
Where the hell were you? He was wandering in front.
There's a lot of bells and whistles and things. All kinds of stuff going on. Bells, whistles. They give you they give you so much time to get the hell out the way. Savak.
Check it out. So I'm on my way out. Right, I'm heading home, and there was apparently some bad accident somewhere on 95 North, and they shut down the entire thing. So we had to get off and drive through. I can't remember what part of town that was. But I ended up coming up. We get to a light. The arrow turns green. And there's a car in front of me. And she's taking forever. We get halfway into the intersection. And suddenly that thing goes X. And you start seeing the barricades coming down. Almost drops right on top of my car. Mm. So So I was AGT. Yeah, I was already in the middle of my turn.
Well, what about that sign that says "Do not stop on the tracks"?
I didn't stop, and I wouldn't have stopped.
It works right. On the middle of the tracks, like you got to let that person go. I'm just saying, anyway. Legal zone.
In the intersection.
There it is. Right. More Law Group legal zone. Let's roll into. I tried to tell y'all because it sounds like it was. I can't wait to hear Perks because it sounds like we heard about 60% of it already. But Juice, let's kick this thing off. What'd you try to tell us?
You know, fellas, I tried to tell y'all that the new era in Miami Dolphins football is real. As John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hadley just wrapped up rookie minicamp from May 8th to May 10th, what are the early returns? What, you know what they are? Exactly what I've been trying to say to you guys once they got hired. They're about football business and players that are about their business. And hopefully, business is good. You know what I mean? You got the full 2026 draft class, all 13 guys, which we all know, you know, that's the most in the league, plus the UDFAs out there at Baptist Health Facility. No full scrimmages, just straight fundamentals, technique, scheme installs, and competition. And Sullivan and Halfley were on the field throughout the whole thing, watching every single snap. The culture shift. From what I've heard, it's already visible. Sullivan's talking toughness and conviction in his guys. Halfley's talking NFL habits and attention to details. Everyone can play in the league, but attention to details is critical and always going to be a difference maker. And to hear that people are saying, it feels different out here. Hungrier, more competitive, that really stands out to me. And some of the people that stood out to me, we talked about a little bit, were Chris Johnson, you know, the second first-round pick we had at cornerback. He's physical. His ball skills are on point. And I think those things fit exactly what Halfley wants. It fits him like a glove in his defense, man. So I think that's always important. Caden Proctor, our first pick at number 12, he's massive and fortunately already handling the heat down here. You know what I mean? Which is something that I did not do when I first got down. I cannot handle the heat. But, you know, a great athlete that can play multiple positions on the offensive line. Chris Bell. Chris Bell, you know, we got in the third round, and he's a wide receiver. He's coming off the ACL, but he's showing amazing progress. And I'm thinking that he could be a guy that could be ready sooner than later. And those young linebackers. Let's talk about Jacob Rodriguez and Kyle Lewis. I mean, these two are winners. And you know, there's one person in the game that I respect more than anything in the personnel scouting game is Lewis Riddick. I usually trust his opinion, you know. But trust, I mean, granted, though, he did go to the same school as Kyle Lewis at Pitt. You know, that's his alma mater, too. So, for Chad, shit on Pitt. There we go. I had to do it. He already has Chad. He already has Zach Thomas, you know, on speed dial. So that's always going to be a great thing for us. And, you know, like guys like, you know, Will Kaczmarek and Michael Taft and DJ Campbell and some of the other UDFA guys, you know, they seem to be hungry and professional. So all the defensive additions and skilled players seem to have love for the game. I talked about that earlier. Love for the game and have that dog mentality. And they can all play ball, man. So this is exactly what a real reset looks like. The Dolphins are getting serious again. We back, baby. We back. Oh, well, soon we'll be back. I tried to tell y'all.
There it is. He tried to tell us. Good stuff, OJ McDuffie. Who's up next? Savak, do you have one?
Well, I mean, not it's really. Because, okay. You know, really, like, this entire stream has kind of been restating my I tried to tell you from the last couple of weeks. So,
all right, we'll keep it moving.
Last week I went a little long winded anyway. So I just
taking a pass. Chad Van Horn, did you try to tell us?
I'd like
anything?
To say a quick word if I could. It'll be brief, but it would mean a lot.
He just stopped on the tracks again, Chad.
Plethora. That's all.
Ooh.
Plethora.
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise word right there.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yo. All right.
Man,
very
how many
nice.
Syllables is that? Is that three or four? Plethora. Three.
Depends on who's saying it, Perk. Depends on who's saying it.
He said plethora. I think plethora is two, but plethora right. is. No, but he did try to tell us. Chad Van Horn, what did you try to tell us?
So I try to tell y'all, and actually OJ led with my I try to tell y'all that I am bringing another trophy back to the fish tank.
Let's go.
You guys have done the heavy lifting. You brought trophies. I need to pull my weight. So next week I'm bringing a trophy, and I tried to tell y'all I'm putting something meaningful on it, that if I don't bring the trophy, I am going to move the Dolphins up from number 2 to number 1 for the next 3 months.
Wow.
Ooh. Wait a minute. So now I'm conflicted because I was rooting for Chad Van Horn. But
right now,
we root for Chad Van Horn, the Dolphins fan, like, which is rooting against Chad Van Horn.
Yeah, right. That's a tough one.
This is mind-blowing right now.
But you know what, though? What I'm conflicted with, Big Seth, is that the next 3 months, that ain't shit.
Right. He said the Dolphins will be his favorite team through
June, July, and August. What's that mean? Yeah. That don't mean nothing. What about September, man?
I'll be in training camp cheering them on. What are you talking about, man? That's when the real fans show up.
He really made the stakes high, didn't he? Did we ever find out what you're going to, or is that a secret?
No, it is a secret, but I can tell you that there is a big surprise at the end of the dance, and I hope I can pull it off. I mean, OJ's seen me dance, but I don't know. I don't know if I'll be as lubricated at this time.
Real quick before we get into yours and Perks, Chad and Zach Thomas had a dance off at my wedding.
Oh,
and they both sweated through, ripped through the clothes. They were a hot mess.
It was hot there.
Yeah, it was hot as hell. It was. it was hot, man. You know, and they lit it up, but man, they paid for it afterwards. For sure. Chad had to throw it away.
Yeah, I took my pants to my tailor, and they're like, you just need to throw these away. There's nothing you can do with these. And Juice didn't give me a heads up. Like no offense to Zach Dawes, but he doesn't look like he could dance. And maybe they say, I don't look like I could dance, but man, that guy's like doing backflips and splits. Like, what the
hell? Yeah, Zach will sandbag you real quick. And, you know, if you don't read the bio, you don't know that he was Mr. Dance. He was a Pampa Harvester Mr. Dance in 1991. So
he gets it in, boy. That's too funny. Good stuff.
Yeah, Chad, right. We're rooting for you, Chad.
When he starts getting this going.
We're not rooting for you. We'll figure it out.
Either way, I appreciate you guys' support.
I'm guessing the Foxtrot. That's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing the Foxtrot.
I'm thinking cha-cha.
All right. Cha-cha. There it is. But not the cha-cha slide, the cha-cha. Okay. Chris Perkins, you've been teasing it all night long. Have you been trying to tell us?
I tried to tell y'all it's a new day in Dolphins land, and that was no more evident than last Friday when the Dolphins are on field for rookie minicamp and Tyreek Hill is in court settling this suit with the social media influencer. The ridiculousness and lunacy of Tyreek Hill is over. This is serious football now.
Right.
And that's one part of the evidence of a different era. The other part is getting the Devon Achane contract done. As Seth said, the Dolphins have waited a year too late on some people, Christian Wilkins and Rob Hunt being two examples. New day, new way of doing business. You got Achane done. I don't know how Brandon Shore, the salary capologist, worked the numbers, because conventional wisdom, including from me, was that you couldn't get anything done with Achane until after June 1st when the Bradley Chubb money was available. New day in Dolphins land. Somehow they got it done. You would have to think they're also going to get Jordan Brooks done and Aaron Brewer done. Again, new day in Dolphins land. They're walking the walk. They're talking the talk. I like what I'm seeing. I tried to tell y'all it's a different day in Dolphins land.
Nice. Yes, Burke. That's great right there, man.
Well,
outstanding.
Fellas, I tried to tell y'all that new doesn't always mean better. And I learned this from the great Harvey Green, second Harvey Green reference of the day. But Harvey Green had a laptop. He never got rid of his typewriter, but he had a laptop. And one day Joe Curbelo walked in the office, grabbed his laptop from his desk and said, "Harvey, I have a new laptop for you." And Harvey freaked out that he was taking his old laptop. And he said, "Well, this one is better." And then Harvey looked at the side and he wanted to see where he could put his CD in the side of the laptop. And there was no CD drive. And Harvey said, "Where's my CD drive?" And he said, "Well, this one doesn't have a CD drive." And Harvey goes, "My old one had a CD drive. My old one had a CD drive. This one doesn't have a CD drive. CD drive? No CD drive. New doesn't always mean better." And I think Harvey's right. That just because something is new, it doesn't mean that it is better. And I know you guys are talking about a new day in Dolphins camp. And I do think that the Miami Dolphins have gotten better. But there were also rumors that the Dolphins, in addition to all of the moves that they did, including trading Jalen Waddle, left one move on the table and that they should have traded Devon Achane. And just because you trade Devon Achane and just because you get more draft picks, which is going to result in new players, it doesn't mean that you're getting better players. And at some point, you have to recognize that if you have, and I'll use the JES term, foundational pieces, you have to hold on to those. You have to find a way to keep them, to pay them, to develop them, to continue to coach them, and ultimately to win with them. So new doesn't always mean better, folks. And I think that even though we have a new general manager, he agrees with Harvey Green and I that new isn't always better. And as much as he changed already in a short period of time, Chris Perkins, he kept Devon Achane. He recognized that that is a unique talent, that is a guy who can hit the home run at any point in time. And he paid him before other teams paid their running backs. And now they have to negotiate with agents against Devon Achane's contract, as opposed to the Dolphins trying to follow everybody else's track and letting other teams and other agents negotiate the contract that they wanted to do. So, yes, I'm happy that there is a new regime. Yes, I'm happy at the direction that the new regime is headed. I agree with you guys on the fact that there is a new day in Dolphins land and it is a good day in Dolphins land. But remember, you had a CD drive and now you don't have a CD drive. New does not always mean better, fellas. I tried to tell you.
That's beautiful.
Real good.
Oh, man.
Any Harvey Green reference is going to win.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that CD drive thing hits different, man, because I felt the same exact way. I'm like, what do you mean there's no CD drive? What in the hell? How are you supposed to?
He brought an external CD drive. So poor Joker. Imagine being a technologist. Imagine being a guy whose job is to take care of the technology at a major organization like the Miami Dolphins, to keep them ahead of the curve, to keep them at the forefront of technology for the National Football League. And you walk into this guy who's got a typewriter on his right, and he's clinging on to this old now I've become this, by the way, but he's clinging on to his laptop with his other hand, and he's telling me new doesn't always mean better. So Joe Cabello shows up a week later with an external CD drive that plugs in with the USB. All right, what? Now I got to carry this? I have one computer. Everything is one button. I got to carry two things to pack. New is not always better. Harvey tried to tell us.
He sure
That's
did.
That's all I got.
He sure did. That's great. He sure did. Hey, great stuff.
Can I get a real quick bonus Chad Van Horn legal zone in here? So
absolutely.
Okay, so you guys know what happened in Denver Airport, Frontier Airlines. The guy walks onto the runway. He committed suicide, sadly. But Chad, now there's two law firms who have informed, like, I guess Frontier or the city of Denver or somebody, that they intend to sue because the passengers suffered physical and emotional harm. Like, is that legit? And if they don't win, do the passengers have to pay the legal fees of Frontier? How does that work?
So the short answer is, and this is going back to a law school program, it's negligent infliction of emotional distress. And it's really hard to prove, and it has to be something like this. And I'm sure that the impact was real to those individuals. Obviously, something like that shouldn't occur. So there had to be some negligence that did occur. Mm-hmm. In the American system, generally speaking, there is not a fee shifting provision like in the European system. If you sue and lose, you have to pay the fees. In a situation like this, that wouldn't be the case. So the passengers that sue, generally speaking, the attorneys that represent them will represent them on contingency. So they'll get 25, 33, 40%, somewhere in that range. If they win, if they lose, they end up with zero. The only way that the airline or whoever is sued could recover the fees is if it was discovered that it was brought in bad faith, or if there was a fee shifting provision, or if there was a contractual right to fees. So the short answer is yes, these cases are rarely brought, but this is one that might make sense. If the passengers lose, they would generally speaking not be responsible for the fees.
There you have it.
Yeah,
how serious in a heartbeat, but we did get a bonus.
That was really good stuff right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, hey, look at there though. The Dolphins have given me negligent emotional distress for 20 years.
There you go. Right here. The 3 month team we're talking about.
I'm in that class action. It's the class action suit right there. Count me in.
Yes.
All right.
That is a pro. Ended on some laughs. I like that.
too good. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Great. The chat has been outstanding. Bohica and David Fernandez have found out their long lost brothers separated at birth or something going on there. So all kinds of fun stuff happening in the chat.
Bohica always solid, man. Thank you, Bohica.
Always is. My everybody DC Defenders are going to bounce back this week. I just want to let you guys know that. That was a good loss. They're getting ready to make another championship run. Shout out to Eazy-E on that one. And Juice, tell them what time it is, because we got to get out of here.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for diving in.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Woo! Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Yeah. Golf fans. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.